I know that we're talking about this in the context of drones, but a drone is a weapon, and there are other weapons by which our government can use lethal force to kill people. So I think, going to the question that you asked, Mr. Brennan, in a more generic sense, the question is, when can our government use lethal force in the United States against perhaps U.S. citizens? And I think it's a legitimate question, and I was not misleading the senator earlier when I said there's a scheduled hearing, the only scheduled hearing on this question, coming up before the Judiciary Subcommittee on Constitution, which I chair, and the ranking member, Senator Cruz of Texas, who was here earlier. So I think it's important, and it's an important constitutional question, but I'd just like to say, while the gentleman, my colleague from Pennsylvania, is here, I'd like to recount a set of circumstances for him and then pose a question to you. The circumstances were 9/11/2001. Some of us were in this Capitol building, in fact, just outside this door. And as we came to work, we heard that some plane had crashed into the World Trade Center in New York. As we were watching on television, a few minutes after 9, a second plane crashed into the World Trade Center, the adjoining building. We all know what happened following that. And as we were in our meeting here, just a few feet away, we started seeing black billowing smoke coming across the mall right outside our window here. A third plane, taken over by these terrorists, was crashing into the Pentagon. What we didn't know at the time was there was a fourth plane. But we evacuated the Capitol, and all of us, literally everyone, raced out of this building to stand on the lawn outside. It wasn't a safe place, but we didn't know where to go. All the tourists, all the staff, and all the rest. It wasn't a few minutes we were out there, and we heard something that sounded like a shot, a discharge of a weapon. In fact, it was fighter planes that were being scrambled to protect the United States Capitol. At that time, the order had gone out to all commercial airplanes in the United States, land immediately, so that we would know who was in our airspace and not responding to that command. It turns out there was one fourth plane involved, and that plane crashed in Pennsylvania, we believe, because of the heroism and bravery of the passengers on board, who, when they realized what was happening, tried to take control of that plane before it could be used as a weapon. Many people believe that plane was aimed for this building or for some place in Washington, D.C. We had scrambled our military planes, and had that plane not crashed into the countryside in Pennsylvania and come within the airspace of this Capitol, I think we know what would have happened. Our government would have used lethal force, military lethal force, to shoot down a civilian airplane that was threatening, we believe, threatening the lives of innocent Americans. It would have been the use of lethal force on our soil to stop a person or persons whom we believed were terrorists about to kill innocent Americans. So when I listened to the response from Attorney General Holder in hypothetical and put it in the context of 9/11, I can imagine that President Bush might have been called on in an instant to make a decision as commander-in-chief to bring down the fourth plane before it crashed into another building and killed innocent people. Now, that's a circumstance, I'd say to the senator from Pennsylvania and the senator from Kentucky, which I fully understand and expect the commander-in-chief to respond to. So I don't think this is such a clear and easy situation. It's important that we have this hearing and explore the many possibilities, the possibility of a terrorist overseas who threatens our safety and the use of lethal force, drones or otherwise, the possibility of a non-U.S. terrorist in the United States and the use of lethal force to deter them, and then obvious questions, what if it's a U.S. citizen overseas? What if it's a U.S. citizen in the United States? I've joined 10 other senators asking for the same legal memos, which I think you would like to see as well, justifying whatever course of action this administration has used. I think it is a legitimate constitutional responsibility of the Senate and the House and this Congress. But I also understand, having lived through, as all of us did in some respect, 9/11, the complexity of those decisions that have to be made in such a fashion. So my question to you, as I said before, we have to end with a question mark. Don't you consider the situation in 9/11 And the use of lethal force, even military force, to shoot down a civilian plane, if it had survived the passenger effort in Pennsylvania and was headed for the U.S. Capitol, to be a legitimate exercise of a commander-in-chief to protect the United States?
Madam President, absolutely. My answer to the question that the senator raises is absolutely. We have the right to defend ourselves, and it would have been a decision that has to be made imminently because a lethal threat needs to have a lethal response immediately. My whole problem with this whole debate is none of us disagree with that, I don't think. We all agree that you can repel an imminent attack. We all agree if someone is outside the Capitol with a rocket launcher or a grenade launcher, they can lethal force can be used against them. None of us disagree on that. We're talking about a targeted drone program where we target individuals. Overseas, the standard seems to include people who are not actively engaged in combat, who we think either might be in the future or have been in the past. I don't think that standard can be used in the United States. I think when you're in a battlefield, you don't get due process. If you're shooting at Americans, drones can hit you anytime, missiles can hit you. There is no due process in a battle. This is a big debate because many have said the battlefield is here, but if the battlefield is here, then that would imply that the Fifth Amendment doesn't apply here. The president has said he will use the Fifth Amendment in the process of deciding drone attacks overseas, but he doesn't get the option to kind of use it privately. Using the Fifth Amendment privately, to me, is not really using the Fifth Amendment. I will say I have a great deal of respect for the senator from Illinois. We've often been on the same side on civil liberties issues. I don't question that you and I may well see eye to eye on this issue, that targeted killings of people in restaurants, in their house, in a hotel, is not something that we can or will tolerate. It contravenes the Constitution. It's a simple question. The president should just simply answer that question. I think Attorney General Holder was coming in the direction of that, but why is it so hard? Why is it like pulling teeth to get them to admit that they don't have this power? Presidents need to more easily say, by golly, no, the Constitution says you can't do that. The Fifth Amendment does apply. There are no exceptions to the Fifth Amendment for American citizens on American soil. That's all we're asking. But I think the 9/11 comparison or Pearl Harbor is a red herring in the sense that none of us disagree with repelling a lethal attack, an imminent lethal attack, an ongoing lethal attack with lethal force. No one disagrees with that.
For a question, without yielding the floor.
Yes.
The white paper that's been presented to us by the Justice Department concludes that the right to national self-defense and the 2001 authorization to use military force gave the U.S. government legal authority to kill a U.S. citizen in a foreign country that is not an area of active hostilities. If the target is a senior operational leader of al-Qaeda or an associated force, so it's qualified in that regard, the white paper argues such an attack does not violate the constitutional rights of a U.S. citizen. In this circumstance, quote, if he poses an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States, imminent threat. Number two, his capture is not feasible. And the Justice Department white paper goes on to say, and the operation complies with law of war principles, such as the need to minimize collateral damage. I will say to the senator, I stand with him. I want an answer to his question, and I think we should pursue it on a bipartisan basis, as we have many issues together in the past. I think it is a legitimate question, but I would say that the white paper that we've been given relative to this U.S. citizen overseas has some fairly narrow circumstances in terms of the use of force. When it comes to the use of that force in the United States, I believe the circumstances should be just as narrow, if not more. And I would just say to the senator, I am genuine in my concern of bringing these issues out in a full hearing of our Constitution Subcommittee. And I think I have to end the question, and I hope he appreciates my sincerity.
Madam President, in very quick response to that, one of the few problems with that is that they also go on to say that imminent doesn't need to be immediate. You're also implying that you can kill this American citizen in a non-combat situation, not an active battlefield. I don't accept that standard for the United States. It's another debate whether we accept the standard overseas, and I think an important debate, but the debate about whether that's a sufficient standard for America, it's not. To kill someone not in combat, it's not wise. You're not going to get any information. When someone's eating dinner, why don't you send the police over and arrest them? To kill someone who's in a non-combat situation in America is unacceptable under any circumstances, and I think we need to come to an agreement on that.